Would you please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13, beginning with verse 24. I'd like to read verses 24 through 30 and then jump over to verses 36 through 43. Matthew 13, 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. And if you would you please stand out of reverence for the reading of the Word of God? The Holy Spirit breathes out these words through Matthew. He, Jesus, put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then how does it have weeds?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now look in verse 36. "Then he left the crowds and went into his house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' And Jesus answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. And just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray. Father, we ask right now that we might just scatter this seed in this place. And Father, we pray right now that you would cause that seed to hit. Father, we pray that you would cause that seed to take root. Father, we pray that even right now, even in this moment of worship gathered together, Father, that there would be new life, that you would speak into existence new life in our hearts and in our lives. And we ask all of these things, the glory of our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, in my family, we have had opinions on everything you could possibly imagine. We have had differing opinions on everything you can possibly imagine. We have had Democrats and Republicans, and we have had televangelists watching Roman Catholics, and we've had alcoholic Southern Baptists. We've had every kind of possible opinion that you can imagine. But there are two things that everybody in my family has always agreed on. As far back as I can remember, there has always been complete unanimity in my family on these two things, if on nothing else. And the first is, you can smoke tobacco or chew it, but not if anybody ever sees you. So there have been all kinds of people in my family who would tell you smoking is wrong, and they'll leave and go outside all the time. Nobody ever sees them, so it's never an issue in the family. Everybody else in the family may know that it's going on, but as long as you don't say it, and as long as nobody points it out, it never became an issue in my family, as far back as I can remember. And the second one is this: we believe in having dogs, and lots of dogs, but we do not believe in having dogs in the house. Nobody in my family that I have ever known has ever believed in having dogs in the house, and sure not a cat. And so people can disagree about all kinds of things at the Thanksgiving table, but they will all agree you ought not have dogs and cats in the house. They never impose their morality on anybody else. That's just what they did in our family. And I always grew up just thinking that that was normal. Normal people don't have dogs in the house, and sure, not a cat. And it never became an issue because I got married to a normal person. She didn't have dogs in the house, she didn't have cats in the house, and neither did her family. But then we went and met the extended family. They were way up north, and I grew up in South Mississippi, and I always assumed that people who lived in the north were much more sophisticated than we were. But we walked into the house of these extended family members, first time I'd ever been there, and there was just a haze of smoke everywhere. And I looked around, everybody is smoking cigarettes right out in public in the broad daylight. Women and everybody. And there in the floor are two great big old Rottweiler dogs in the kitchen, under the table, laying in the house. And I started to kind of turn my nose up and look around, sit down, trying to get my bearings about me. And this extended in-law of mine said, "That's Pebbles and that's Jean-Claude." And she started telling me about the dogs, and she showed me a big scar that came down the side of her arm. She said, "This is when I was in the hospital a couple of years ago because Pebbles and Jean-Claude got into a fight right there in the living room in front of the television. I had to break up that fight, and I wound up in the hospital." That night I said to my wife, "I don't really want to point this out, but if you have ever been hospitalized breaking up a dog fight in your living room, this is a rough crew." And my wife said, "Well, you know, your cousin, female cousin, took a week off of work when Dale Earnhardt died. Went on nerve pills, took gasoline, and poured out a 3 in the grass of her front lawn." And that was true. And I said, "I don't get your point." She said, "Well, I don't know when you became little Lord Fauntleroy, but it just seemed normal to me. Everything I'd grown up with, everything that I've ever seen, had said, this is the way you live, this is the way you don't live, and anything that kind of messed with that kind of threw me into a state of confusion. Everybody is like that to some degree or other. There are things about your life, maybe the way you grew up, maybe the way you've been taught, maybe just the way that you've been living your life in a pattern or in a habit. You've got a way that seems normal to you so that you're the regular person. Everybody else, when they variate from that, they're the ones that are strange. And you think that your life as you move along is simply normal. Everybody's like that. And everybody has always been like that." That is exactly the problem that Jesus is hitting at in this story that he is telling. As he has these crowds gathered around him, Jesus gets up and tells them a story about weeds. He says, "There was a man who had a field, and he went and planted in his field, and he put out good seed, and the seed began to grow. But sometime in the night, an enemy came in. Somebody came in and sowed some weeds in the middle of that wheat." Now, we hear this story, and we don't see it exactly the way that they see it. We don't hear it exactly the way that they would have heard it, because when we think of weeds, we just think of our lawns. We just think of our yards. We just think of weeds that might come up in a garden that we have to give us some fresh vegetables. We don't see this in terms of our entire lives. He's speaking to people and saying, there is a guy who has a field. They would have understood that this is a guy who has an investment in this field. If he's going to eat, he's going to eat from that. If he's going to make a living, he's going to make a living from that. This would be more like you're looking around in your house and seeing mold all over all of the walls of your house. The kind of terror that would strike you as you wonder, is this the kind of mold that can't be gotten out? He says the man's field is filled in with weeds, and he says the kingdom of God is like that. He says the kingdom of God is on the move, but this kingdom challenges everything that you consider to be normal. Now, I want us to notice, first of all, what Jesus is getting at here for us. He's speaking to us, first of all, about the invisibility of the kingdom. Notice what Jesus does. Jesus stands up and says, there was a man who had a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed. And where did he put the seed? He put it in his field. And then Jesus, when he gathers his disciples together, he explains what that means. He says, the Son of Man is the one who is sowing that good seed. What he's telling them is, the universe around you, everything around you is Jesus's project. Now, it's easy for us just to think that things are the way they are. Even those of us who know how to mouth the kind of words that we know, this is my Father's world, we know that's the case. We're able to sing praise and thanksgiving to God, but we assume that everything around us is just the way that it is, that everything is just normal. We're not aware that God is right up in your face right now, aware of all of the thoughts going on in your head right now. He says this universe is being put together by Jesus, and he is the one active in it. The very fact that you are here, sitting right where you're sitting right now this morning, it is because Jesus has decided it would be that way. Jesus is up to something. He says the Son of Man is sowing the seed, and he says this seed is the children of the kingdom. He says there is a purpose for all of the lives that the Son of Man is planting in the world. He has a kingdom that is moving forward, and it is moving forward through people, through real human lives. But, he says, it is invisible. He says it is not easy to see. He says it is still in seed form. He throws out the seed and it falls there on the ground, but you can't immediately see it. Jesus is going to go on to explain to them that the kingdom of God is kind of like yeast as it works its way through the bread. You can't see the yeast working, but it's at work. You can see the results later on. You can't see it while it's working. You can't see the fluoride as it is working on your teeth. Trying to make up with our dentists and oral hygienists after last week's message. You don't see it at work, but it's always working. That yeast is moving through the bread. He says the kingdom is moving forward, and it's moving forward through people. But he says something has happened. Jesus says an alien power has come in and sabotaged the universe. He says, this man has sowed out the seed on the ground. He says, but there is an enemy who has come. And he identifies this enemy as the evil one. He is the one who has come in, and in a move to destroy, in a move to just throw in some chaos, he has planted weeds in the middle of the good seed. And it's not just any kind of a weed. Jesus says it is the kind of weed that when you look out onto the field, it all looks the same to you. The worst kind of weed you can have. It'll choke out your crop. It'll destroy your field. It'll ruin your investment, and you can't even see that it is there. He says this intentional evil, this enemy has come in and planted this, just sown this all over the place. He says there's a struggle going on in the world around you, and it's a struggle that, just like the kingdom, is really, really, really hard to see, really hard to identify. It's invisible. It's almost imperceptible. There are some of you right now today who may just see yourself, well, I'm just the kind of person with this kind of a temper. Well, I'm just the kind of person that's prone to gossip. Well, I've just always been really bitter. Got it from my grandmother, I think. You have all kinds of ways of reconciling and working your way through what's going on. But Jesus says, no, no, there is something intentionally evil going on. There is something intentionally powerful moving to counteract that. And so everything around you is a conflict between those two things, whether you know it or not. He says there is an invisible kingdom that's on the move that is breaking through. But he says, it's not just that it is invisible. It's also, he says, invincible. So powerful this kingdom is that you can't turn it back. Notice what Jesus says. He says, yeah, the guy comes in and he throws the weed into the field. He thinks that he's ruined the investment. He thinks that he's thrown everything into chaos. But he says, the servants, when they get up, and they see what's going on, notice what they say. Jesus says, the servants come in and say to the master, now master, didn't you sow good seed? Now think about this for a minute. These people are in charge of the field. These people are asleep when an intruder comes in and messes up the field. And these people immediately turn to the master and say, why'd you do this? Looks like you would have planted some good seed. Looks like you've got a mess. Wonder why this happened. They don't see and recognize what God has done. They don't see what the owner has done. It is very easy for all of us when we look at the wreckage and the carnage all around us to turn to our Father and say, why is this happening to me? Why did you let this happen to me? Why is there so much evil out there? Why are people being shot and left for dead? Why are people being buried under mudslides? Why do you have people with incurable diseases? Why is it that there are people, maybe even in this room right now, who are suffering so badly they can barely even sit here right now? Why is this happening? Jesus says, you don't see what's going on. But Jesus says, not only is this happening, Jesus says he's got a strategy for why things are left the way they are. You see, the servants have exactly the same reaction that I would have. The servants come along and say, we've got weeds in the field, so what do we need to do? We need to burn the field down. The disciples always have that reaction. You remember one time when Jesus is coming through a city and the city rejects him, James and John turn around after these people have said, we don't want you here, Jesus. We don't want to listen to you, Jesus. And the disciples say to him exactly what I would have said had I been there. Who would Jesus bomb? Send down fire from heaven. Wipe these people out. That's our tendency. We look around at all of the evil that's around us and we say, why do you even let this stand? Why do you let this take place? And Jesus says, but this isn't accidental. Jesus says, I want you to notice what's happening, that the Son of Man, after this has been sown and after the enemy has come in and sabotaged it, Jesus says, don't burn it down, because if you burn it down, you're going to burn the good fruit right along with the weeds. Kind of like a woman that I knew not long ago who had a horrible virus that was ravaging her body. And everybody in her family said, we need to do something to get rid of that virus. Don't you have an antibiotic that can get rid of it? And the doctor said, yeah, we do. But if we administer that antibiotic, we're going to kill her too. We've got to let her move through this process before we can get to the virus that is choking away at her life. Jesus says, don't burn down the field. Don't destroy the world. He says, let them grow together for a while. Some of you may have noticed that in your own individual lives. Some of you may say, as you look around at people that you know, sometimes it's very, very difficult to tell the people who follow Christ from the people who don't. There may be some of you in here today who don't follow Jesus, but you're here because a husband or a wife or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a coworker or a friend has invited you to come here. And you may say, you know, I've got people who are complete unbelievers that are sweeter and nicer and kinder than some of the people that I know who claim to be Christians. Jesus tells you that will be the case. Very, very difficult to tell the one from the other upon first glance. And our first and initial reaction is to say, let's just uproot it all. And Jesus says, no, I am patiently enduring with this field for a while. And Jesus tells you how long. He says, at the end of the age, at the harvest, he says, then I'm going to send out angelic beings, and they're going to mark out those who have known and who follow after Jesus, the sons of the kingdom. He says, I'm going to gather up. They're going to gather together those who are the weeds, those who are just hiding in the middle of this world. He's going to rip those two things apart from one another, separate them clearly and definitively then, but not until then. Now, I want to say to you, there may be some of you in this room who are hiding. You are hiding because you have a form of godliness. You know all the words. You know all the songs. You know all the prayers. And you don't think judgment is coming because your life just tends to move right along day after day after day after day after day the way that it always has. Everything seems normal. It doesn't seem like this is ever going to come to an end. And there are others of you in the room who know Jesus, but you're suffering. And you hear all of these words about glory. What Jesus says here, one day the sons of the kingdom will shine like the sun, and it doesn't seem like it because every day moves along day after day after day after day. Everything is normal. What Jesus is telling us in this story is that what is normal isn't normal. You and I are living in an abnormal universe, in an abnormal world. And God is patiently bearing with you right now. He is patiently bearing with us even in a world of all of this evil. And why? Because he is inviting those of you who do not know Christ to find him. He's saying to you, look to Jesus Christ crucified for you, stapled to a cross for you, raised from the dead for you. Cry out and say, oh Father, have mercy upon me, and count Jesus' death as my death and his life as my life, and he'll receive you. He's patiently waiting and enduring so that those of us in this room will be his ambassadors in our workplaces and in our homes. We'll be saying to our coworkers, you know what, judgment is coming. I know it doesn't seem like it, but judgment is coming. So that we'll be on the floor with our kids teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I know you think this world is normal, but one day Jesus will appear in the eastern skies. So that those of us who live these lives that are so boring and so regular would see a glimpse of the glory and of the horror that's before us. He says, at the end of the age, this field is ripped up. The weeds are gathered together and they're thrown into the furnace. He says, the judgment of God as the kingdom comes forward, even though you may sit here and say, I have gotten away with it, judgment is coming. He says, and even though you, believer in Christ, may sit here and say, nothing's working out, glory is coming. He says the kingdom is moving and the kingdom is powerful. He says, but it is an invisible power. It's like a closing artery. You don't see it. You don't sense it. But in an instant, it is here. Jesus says, that's what the kingdom of God is like. But the people don't see it. And sometimes neither do we. It all focuses down on whether or not you see Jesus. Look in verse 53. After Jesus gets finished saying all of these things, he goes home. Verse 53, and when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The kingdom of God is moving. Right here in this service right now, Jesus has promised us that's the case. The kingdom of God is sorting and sifting and examining right now as it moves through all of these pews and through all of these minds and through all of these hearts and through all of these consciences. The kingdom of God is going forward, but it doesn't seem like it, because it will be very easy for you, unbeliever, to say in your mind, nothing's going to happen. When I get up and leave here and walk out of these doors, the sun's still shining. The birds are still singing. The television's still going to come on. The Olympics are still there. You're able to say everything seems normal, but it ends. And it's easy for you, believer, to say, I'm just going to go in the flow of what seems normal to me. I'm just going to live the kind of apathetic life I've always lived. But Jesus is saying to you, one day, the normal won't be normal anymore. See the kingdom. Embrace the kingdom. Live the kingdom. Plead with the lost for the kingdom. See that your life is marked out by the priorities of the kingdom. We as a congregation are calling all of us in this room to do four things this month. To read our Bibles together every day, to pray every day, to gather together for worship every Lord's Day, and to give. These things are not burdensome. These things are joyous things for the people of God. These things seem to be no big deal, but Jesus says these kinds of means are how the Holy Spirit works to move us and drive us forward until the kingdom comes. Let's live it. Let's embrace it. Let's hear it. Let's see it. Let's feel it. Let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Holy Father, it's not easy for us to see the kingdom of God. When we see around us people getting away with everything, some of us seeing ourselves getting away with everything. And then some of us seeing ourselves under assault. Father, I pray that for those who are in this room who are of Christ, Father, I pray that you would give them endurance to last. And Father, I pray for those in this room who are not in Christ, for those who are hiding among the vegetation, Father, I pray that you would call them out. Father, I pray that this morning as we sing this hymn, Father, I pray that you would just cause a sense of terror to come over anyone in this room who doesn't know Jesus. Father, I pray that you would just cause your Spirit to work in their hearts so that they would want to believe and want to find Jesus and to find his kingdom. Father, just make that irresistible in their minds where they just think, I can't stand the thought of not thinking about this. Father, we ask you to work in that way. We ask you to convict of sin. And Father, we pray for those of us in this room who have been living out our lives as though everything's normal. Father, not weeping for our lost family members and friends. Father, not moving forward with the gospel and sharing it with our coworkers and our neighbors and our children and our parents. Father, we just ask that you would convict us where we need to be convicted, and you would reorient our priorities as we work this field. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.